Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back, folks. Michael Heck joins us every Wednesday at this time, and we appreciate same. He is the president and CEO of GNO Inc. Michael, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Newell. It's always great to be here.
A lot of great news relative to NOLA Coalition. I visited with Press Kabakoff yesterday. We had a great conversation about the possible hiring of the criminologist Thomas Apt and bringing in some tech folks from Seattle as well. Seems as though a lot of good things are happening and are on track.
Yeah, there are. And look, I want to give credit to Press and folks like him who have been chopping at this tree for a long time. And, you know, Press doesn't need to be doing this, but he does it because he's passionate about the city and he's passionate about being civically engaged. And it's because of him that we're getting national experts like Thomas Apt coming in from Maryland or Ron Rasmussen coming in from Seattle. And I think it's also encouraging, Newell, that you see a receptivity in the city, in the administration, in the police department to learning from best practices and taking assistance by people from like John Linder from New York City. You know, I think if you look at the numbers, we can't say that we've yet turned the corner on violent crime. We're beginning to see some improvement, but we're not there yet. We have seen some improvement in carjackings and those types of violent incidents on the ground. But there's no question that we are beginning to put the elements in place in terms of better practices and in terms of funding priorities that are going to yield better results. And I think we're going to be in a much better place increasingly as the months go forward.
I'm encouraged when I hear in multiple weekends in a row that we're being intrusive and taking guns off the street. During Bayou Classic, over 80 weapons seized and taken in the 8th District, which was that's a huge number. I mean, I don't think the general public really understands how big a number that is.
No, it's pretty stunning to see, you know, the displays of guns that were taken off the street. It's a bit like that display when you're going through TSA at the airport about all the guns that have been confiscated that people forgot in their bag over. It's a big one. Usually for me, Newell, it's a bottle of water. What can I say? Or maybe it's like, you know, some shampoo.
A bottle of wine more likely.
Well, you know, special water, you know, daddy's juice. But the it is shocking to see the guns taken off, but it sends a signal. It's important. And it shows that we're paying attention. I think the big news that is going to happen is the budget hearing tomorrow. And I got to tell you, Newell, it's, you know, from what I'm seeing, the intel I'm getting, I want to give, maybe this is dangerous, but I want to give preemptive credit to the administration and to the council. It looks like they're really working towards an outcome in terms of the budget, in terms of money that's going to go for pay, for bonuses, for equipment, for tech upgrades that we really need. And it just feels like they're working towards a constructive compromise for the city. And so we'll see how it goes tomorrow. But I'm encouraged that between the ARPA funds and the budget surpluses and other ways that they've found cash, we're going to be making investments in supporting criminal justice that are going to pay dividends for the citizens. And so, you know, big ups to you, the station, to the business community, folks like Press, to the NOLA Coalition, to our political leaders. I think over the past few months, we've seen just a radical change in approach. People have spoken loudly. They've spoken together. And it feels like we're making real progress here.
And there were legitimate concerns, and I think once people sat down and started evaluating for themselves observations made by all of the parties that you mentioned, they recognized that we can't do things in three-year snippets and set up the next administration to fail, that we need to be more forward-leaning, forward-thinking, understanding transitional occurrences and phases of leadership here in the city, and that we can't handcuff our future leaders, which is kind of where we started from. And I don't mean to imply that it was intentional. It probably wasn't. But it just happens these ways, you know, where you're more concerned with your term of office than you are anyone else's.
Yeah, look, that is, I totally agree with that, Newell. You know, you can't, you know, don't hate the player, hate the game. The rules say that you have term limits, and so,
right.
And that's what you're going to get judged upon. But that's why you have this balance of power with the council that is going to extend beyond that term, and that has, frankly, you know, political careers beyond that term. But also, again, I want to come back to, I was talking to a council member a couple of days ago, and the council member said, you know, the business community and the community at large has really spoken up, and they've been loud and they've been unified in their message that they want funding for safety, but they want it done in a fiscally responsible manner. And I think because that message was consistent and also, you know, echoed in the media, then, yeah, the initial request came in. It's now been, I think, evolved to a package which is probably going to do both of the things that we need, provide us more safety, but do it in a way that doesn't mortgage the future.
No doubt. You know, and because you work in that economic development arm of what's going on here in the metropolitan area, these types of wins or successes are really important when you're selling your message, right?
It's very important. You know, I was talking to somebody yesterday, and they said, Michael, you know, how are the numbers looking? Do you think it's possible that we're going to end the year and not have the worst number of homicides per capita in the country? And, you know, it's too early to tell. And it seems like a somewhat absurd argument, because whether you're the worst or the second worst, it still is morally indefensible to have this
right.
loss of life. And you just have to say that. I mean, there's just you cannot just gloss over that fact. However, it's also true that being on the front page of the Wall Street Journal and having that highlighted is really bad for business. It's bad for attracting companies. It's bad for attracting tourists. It's very bad for attracting conventions. And so there is this issue. And when we started the NOLA Coalition, we said this, Newell, it was first and foremost about lives, but it was also very much about livelihoods. Because if this is an environment which either in reality or perception is not considered safe, then that's bad for business. And if it's bad for business, it means we're not going to have the resources going forward to invest in our people. So, yeah, this is very much an economic development deal as well.
Yeah, I mean, I talked about it yesterday and a little bit today. New Orleans was one of many cities that were featured in an article done in the Washington Post. I don't know if you got a chance to read it. A compelling piece, kind of presented more from the victim's perspective, right? And one of the stats that was striking to me, and oftentimes we overlook it and we don't talk about the impact on the black community within our city, 80% of the homicides in this country, the victim is black. That
yep.
represent 13% of the population. And a lot of times we just don't have real conversations around these numbers and the impact that it has on certain communities in this country.
Well, that's why it's so important practically, but also morally, to get beyond ideology and talk to people about their lived experience. And what I mean by that is, how does it feel when you're getting gas? How does it feel when your child goes out on a bike ride? What's been your experience of loss? And when you start having those conversations, Then you start getting together a group like the NOLA Coalition, which is black and white, which crosses all classes, which crosses all geographies. Because at the end of the day, we're talking about, you know, the bottom of Maslow's hierarchy of needs. We're talking about people's desire to be safe and secure in their lives. And I'm hopeful that, or I think that as a country, we've kind of come back more towards that more responsible viewpoint that seems to be happening in cities. Voters are beginning to express themselves. And I feel that we're in a place right now. Look, I was talking 2 weeks ago to a community activist, and she came up to see us, wanted to talk about the NOLA Coalition. And she was very clear. She said, look, I've been an activist my entire life, intra-MA in Central City. And you know what I want? I want more police. I want community policing. I want good police. I want police who know me and know my kids. But I want to be safe. Yeah. And I think that that's the voice of the lived experience that we really need to listen to.
Well, you can't do anything in your community that you desire to do one way or another if you're not safe. It alters the course of everything.
No, it alters the course, and it contravenes, you know, the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, right? Life in a literal way, and liberty in a literal way, and frankly, even happiness in a literal way. And so I am encouraged. In fact, I saw a couple of days ago that a coalition similar to the NOLA Coalition has been started in Philadelphia now. And I don't know if we can take credit for that any more than we can take credit for the $15 million of ARPA funds that the administration is saying they're going to invest in youth services. But it does seem that the ideas that we kind of germinated here a few months ago are beginning to catch on around the country. And
well, it's crazy there. Yeah. Michael, I'm looking at a story this morning out of Philly. A guy walks up behind a parking enforcement officer that's putting a ticket on a car in Philly, puts a gun to his head and kills him.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm looking at the video right now. I've had it up on my screen all morning long, and it's like we've lost our minds. I mean, and this is what's going on in Philly, and it's gone too far, and now, as you pointed out, the community's pushing back.
Yeah, I think that one thing we have to remember, whether one is ideologically liberal or conservative, is that there's a law of nature, and it's the law of entropy. And that is that things want to break apart. They want to fall down to their lowest state of energy. And what that means is that it's much harder to create order than to destroy it. So we should be very careful when we tear apart our institutions, when we tear down our police or our teachers, or the trust between us, because you can tear it down pretty easily these days using social media. But putting it back together again, you've got a Humpty Dumpty problem. And I think that that's something that maybe conservatives understand intuitively, is that you just be careful what you wish for, hard to go back.
Yeah, and it's always easier to be against something than for something, right?
Well, look, it is, and I think that one of the things that I think kids need to be taught in high school and in college is that it's fine to be a critical thinker, and it's good to be able to deconstruct why things happen and to criticize them if they're not right or not optimal. But you then need to come back and say what is better, right? It's irresponsible just to criticize without offering a solution. And, you know, this is something I try to do with my own kids. I remember that, you know, our oldest son was having a fit about net neutrality back when that was an issue a few years ago. And I was like, look, I don't really know what that means except that I pay the Cox bill, you know, every month. But if it's a problem, then go sit down at that fancy gaming computer you have and write a letter to our senators and write a letter to the newspaper. And he was like, why should I do that? I was like, because otherwise you're just complaining and I can't hear you. And he went and he did it. And you know, hopefully that was an example of me being an adequate parent. They happen pretty
well,
rarely.
But you know, the exercise is worthy because oftentimes I think folks just don't synthesize the breadth and depth of the information available. You know, and in the most simplistic terms, just doing pros and cons and doing a comparative analysis, right?
Yeah, and then understanding something that F. Scott Fitzgerald said, which is that the ability to hold two opposing thoughts in your mind at the same time and still function is a sign of intelligence. I'm paraphrasing, yeah, but that's basically what he said.
Yeah,
and
no
we live in this right world of dichotomy because that works on social media and in traditional media. But the reality is that the world is, I don't know whether it's gray or it's plaid, but I'll tell you what, it's messy as hell. And if you don't have the ability to understand the situational complexity and have empathy for the other person's viewpoint, then you're at a minimum, you're lazy and you're definitely going to be ineffective.
Right.
And so,
no doubt.
Yeah, trying to let people be comfortable with that ambiguity, I think, is important.
Mike, we got a big visit coming up. President Macron, the first visit of the head of France since 1976. That sounds strange. I mean, that's a long time.
You're it is a long time.
School.
Man, wow.
A real long time.
I think they call that in France, l'ancien régime, right?
yeah.
But, so Macron is coming because, and in fact, Macron was probably born in 76, Newell. I mean, he's like 44 years old, right?
Thank
he
you.
Was born.
Thank you. Thank
oh,
you,
my
Michael.
God, for 70, 78. That's, wow. Okay. Putting it in that perspective, you can just, yeah.
But just bring the full context to it.
I just wanted to understand the enormity of your situation, Noel. You know, you have to perceive
this
for what it is.
I got it. I got it, brother. I got it.
But old things can be great. Look at the French Quarter. So the
Absolutely. Wine.
The reason he's coming here is to celebrate the French heritage. We were a French colony until the Louisiana Purchase when we bought one third of the country. Basically because we needed the port and Napoleon needed some money. Macron is trying to talk climate issues with the governor, but I think his personal mission is that he's trying to spread French culture and French language around the world or to re-energize that. And he sees Louisiana with our tradition, not only in New Orleans, but in Acadiana and down in the Bayou as one of the real hubs for that. In America.
Yeah.
And so I think he's coming to promote that as well. So we're glad that he's here. I think there'll also be some conversations around economic issues, particularly around LNG, liquefied natural gas, because France is going to be taking a lot of LNG from Louisiana to try to wean France and Europe off of Russian dependency for LNG. And so it's a multifaceted visit. And I think what it says to me at the highest level is that New Orleans and the region, we still punch way above our weight. We're a relatively small community of 1 million-plus people, but we still regularly receive heads of states of real significant places around the world because, New Orleans matters.
No, absolutely. My dad is a French-speaking Acadian. I'm sensitive to those issues. And I have a few regrets in life. Mother, who spoke fluent Spanish, dad, fluent French, and I destroy the English language. So, would have loved to have been trilingual, for sure.
Well, I mean, you try to be lingual. That's true.
That's true. Thank you so much for reminding me of my age and my inability to articulate as clearly as Michael Hecht on any given time.
Oh, man. All right, let's go to commercial break.
We appreciate you. We appreciate saying, let's go to break before this falls apart even further. We're visiting with Michael Hecht, President and CEO of GNO Inc. Folks, stay with us. We'll be right back.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay. Picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back, folks. We're visiting with Michael Heck, President and CEO of GNO Inc. You know, Michael, you were talking about punching above your weight. Nunez Community College has a history of that, right?
Oh, absolutely. Nunez Community College is a little engine that does, survive the devastation of Katrina to come back and offer a fantastic curriculum, have partnerships with key employers like Boeing over at NASA MISU. And now they've got a new partnership that they've just signed, which is pretty mind-blowing. There is an organization called Energy Innovation over in Norway, which is one of the premier trainers in Norway for people that want to go into the offshore wind field. They've just signed an agreement with Nunez Community College to come and set up a training center right here in Greater New Orleans in St. Bernard. And that will be doing technical training for people that want to do electrical, mechanical, turbine installation repair, rescue work, all of the training that people would need to get involved in this burgeoning offshore wind industry, where Louisiana is becoming the supply chain for wind for the entire East Coast. So it's a pretty exciting relationship.
Michael, it occurs that Community College, Delgado, Nunez, and others playing a much bigger role today than ever before.
I was actually just talking to my wife about this morning. There is a growing recognition amongst parents, but particularly amongst younger people, that the reason why they are getting educated is to get a job and be successful in life. And for employers as well, what folks are realizing is that is about getting the skills, getting the credentials that are specific to industries, and also that making sure that those skills and credentials are up to date and are keeping up with trends. And I don't think any institutions do that better than two-year schools, and I think that the LCTCS system in Louisiana is one of the best in the nation. So you look at schools like NTCC and Delgado and Nunez and RPCC and the River Parishes, and they're increasingly the choices of students because they can go to these schools, they can get an associate's degree or just a credential in a very quick period of time, and start making $40, $50 an hour. I mean, six-figure incomes in technical trades. So I think that they are the future. I think that four-year schools are starting to kind of copy that model. Our oldest kid is going to a school where everything is hands-on. It's a four-year school, but it's all project-based, because at the end of the day, this is how you create productive workers and stable and growing middle-class careers.
Yeah, so congratulations to them. That's a great announcement. You guys are getting a little more money, right? The Innovation Fund.
Yeah, we hope so. So there was something that used to come out of the federal government called SSBCI, I didn't really know what it stood for, so I used to call it super secret business cash infusion, because it was just this money that used to come down to the states from the Treasury, and it would kind of go to banks and not really be, you know, it didn't feel like it was being leveraged in a smart way. About 10 years ago, we worked with the state and set up a program so that those funds could be used to set up investment funds, nonprofit investment funds, so that we could support startups around the state. We used that funding to start the New Orleans Startup Fund, which has since that time funded dozens of startups, including some that have gone on to great success, like Resilia or Levelset. And now there's another infusion of this SSBCI money that's coming down. Louisiana is getting, I think, close to $100 million of it. There'll be many organizations in our region that are going to be getting some of this. We think that GNO Inc. is going to be one of them. And we're going to set up an innovation fund to provide early stage gentle capital to companies in our focus industries like trade and energy and tech and bio, to try to create the next, you know, the next Latrums, the next great companies out of our region.
Yeah. We're going into the knockout round, and that's important to us in the World Cup, because we're on the cuff of really getting a soccer team here, which I think a lot of people are very excited about.
Yeah, I mean, soccer is the most popular sport in the country in terms of participation. It's huge in Louisiana, huge in the region, and we're on the cusp of actually getting a USL championship team. USL championship is like the number two league in the country. It sits right below the MSL, but it's actually the most popular one. And there are some teams around us. Birmingham has a team. Atlanta has a team. And so we're really excited that we're going to be getting one. The question right now is where they're going to locate. There are a few places being talked about for the stadium, you know, the new River District, you know, out at the lake, out on Airline Highway. And then, of course, the name. You know, we could go with something kind of classic like FC NOLA, or it could be something fun like the Tampa team is called the Tampa Rowdies. And so I don't know what we are, you know, the I don't know, maybe the New Orleans Bounce and we get Big Frida. You know,
what's your DJ name?
But that's copywritten. They're very. You have to talk to my manager. I can't just do that.
I got it.
I've signed my catalog away.
There you go. You have a special guest, John Spain, Executive Vice President of Baton Rouge Area Foundation. We're going to go to a break. When we come back, we'll visit with John and talk about some of the projects that they are overseeing. With Michael Heck. So folks, stay with us. We'll be right back.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Welcome back, folks. Mike Heck brings a special guest, John Spain, Executive Vice President of the Baton Rouge Area Foundation. John, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
So, John, I know you and I think have talked before, and I know that you have been the leader of an effort in passenger rail in Louisiana, and we're talking about two different, I think, systems, one New Orleans to Mobile and the other New Orleans to Baton Rouge. Give us the latest on both of those.
Thank you again for the opportunity to kind of bring you up to date. The good news that occurred last week was an announcement of a settlement on the route that goes from New Orleans to Mobile. Many of your listeners will realize that for many years, New Orleans had a train that left New Orleans and went all the way to Jacksonville, Florida. That service was terminated shortly after Hurricane Katrina because the rails were literally washed away. But the rails have long been replaced, but the service hasn't. And being candid about it, it wasn't an attractive service at the time. It ran in odd hours, and a lot of people didn't use it. So we wanted to bring it back and do something better. And the good news is that the Mobile to New Orleans will be a passenger service where there is a locomotive and train in each city each morning, and they will travel in the opposite directions. At the end of the day, they will return back. And so what you're getting is four passes across the Louisiana-Mississippi Gulf Coast. We think that route will be very, very exciting for people from New Orleans who want to go down to the beach and not have to take a car and deal with the traffic on I-10. More importantly, we know people who fly into Louis Armstrong from around the world are used to taking trains, and so having trains available for them to go look at the coast will be, I think, an opportunity that we'll see some of the tourists who come to New Orleans will want to take advantage of. Ultimately, the next phase of this will be that we'll go from Mobile to Florida, and that will take a few years down the road, but ultimately we do want to restore the service all the way to Florida at some point. But the Surface Transportation Board had hearings on this, and all the parties have come to an agreement. It is a sealed agreement, and so we're very limited on what we can say other than the parties have agreed, and we believe the train service will start. And I think it's not out of the question that it could start in the next 12 to 15 months. So that's the Gulf Coast route, and we're excited about it. The one we've also talked about is Baton Rouge to New Orleans, and we've been working on that for a decade, as you know, because we've talked about it. And the very exciting news there is that all the critical parties have agreed to do it. So great credit goes to Governor Edwards and Transportation Secretary Sean Wilson, who put all of the critical partners, meaning Amtrak, and the Amtrak president met with the governor in New Orleans about 3 weeks ago, and they said they want to do it. The owner of the tracks is currently Kansas City Southern, and it will be sold and approved, we think, early next year to Canadian Pacific, which is Amtrak's number one passenger partner. And Canadian Pacific has actually had a press conference in New Orleans that says we're excited about restoring this service. And the good news is the Biden administration has set aside $31 billion that can only be used for intercity rail. So money is not the issue. The federal money is there. And to the state's credit, they have applied for a grant that would replace the Bonnie Carey Bridge. And so all of the partners have said we will do it. And so Baton Rouge, New Orleans looks like it is, in fact, going to happen. When it starts is probably at least another 15, 18 months away. Amtrak says they need 6 months to hire the crew and put the equipment in place. And there are a few things that still need to be done. But the great news is at the federal and state levels, everybody has said Baton Rouge to New Orleans is something they want to see happen, and the money appears to be there.
Congratulations to you guys. I know y'all been pushing hard. These things seem to make so much sense on the front end, but seem to be so hard to accomplish on the backside.
They are hard, and I thank the foundation I work for their patience in letting me work on this for a decade. There's also good news across North Louisiana. We have a lot of interest up there for passenger rail, and we think passenger rail will run on the I-20 from Dallas to Meridian sometime in the next couple of years as well. And then ultimately, if you want to think about Dallas to New Orleans, that once we get Baton Rouge, New Orleans, I think we'd have a train that would went from there to Shreveport to Dallas. So start thinking about, you know, Dallas to New Orleans on a train. And that also provides passenger service if we do north of Baton Rouge to other parts of the state that might very well choose to fly to Louis Armstrong. We know that airlines are consolidating and smaller cities will lose or see less air service in the future. And so the idea is to connect to international airports by rail and interstate. And so we know that the leadership at Louis Armstrong is already thinking about applying for federal money for that. So think about a train between Baton Rouge and New Orleans that would stop. You'd step across and get on a rail shuttle into the billion-dollar new beautiful Louis Armstrong terminal. So you'd see a multimodal connection that would be, I think, used by a lot of people. I remind people that almost 60% of the flying public in Baton Rouge now uses Louis Armstrong. So why ride on a car and get in the traffic when you can have a direct rail connection at some point in the future? That'll be exciting for us.
And there are a lot of great flights out of Baton Rouge as well. John, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it. John Spain, Executive Vice President, Baton Rouge Area Foundation. Michael, real quick, got about 10 seconds.
Well, I think that I'm thankful for a lot coming out of this holiday season and going into Christmas, and look forward to working with John Spann on getting the train done and coming back and reporting the results to you. Let's see what happens in budget hearings tomorrow on Neural Tool. That's important.
Absolutely. You guys have a great week. Really appreciate y'all joining us today, as always. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us, 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. This is Newell on WWL. Welcome back, folks. When we come back after the top of the news break, we will visit with Eileen Carter and Belden Batiste. They're both co-chairs of the No LaToya Recall Campaign. Seems as though there may be hard evidence of retaliation against a local business. We'll get the latest on that. Plus, the recall numbers since the expanded radio, TV, and direct mail campaign started. So stay tuned. We'll get the latest on the recall effort of Mayor LaToya Cantrell. And, you know, when you think about the list that's out there as to what is being considered as to the failures of this mayor, it gets longer each and every day. So we'll be right back after top of the news break and visit with Eileen Carter and Belden Batiste. Stay with us. This is Newell on WWL.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.